The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another fine episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table today, well, I've got some old and new familiar faces. Let's start with the chairman of NAWC, Mr. Brian Henniger.
What it is? It's been far too long. How's everybody doing?
Better.
Well, that's
definitely
good to hear.
Better. And next to him at the table, no relation, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Wait, I'm 30 now? Oh, no.
It doesn't get better from there.
Son of a.
So, we also have the table at our table all the way on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman.
Yes, indeed.
And you'll be doling out a couple of pieces of bad news here momentarily.
Yes, sad, and it's sad. It's sad that we have to start with bad news, but unfortunately, we do.
And finally, at the table, our legal eagle, who is showing some signs of age, that would be Jason Block.
Yeah. You think 30's bad? Try 49.
Okay, I do have friends who are fairly close to your age, as in 1 year old younger.
Yeah, well.
So okay. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. We're all there, but like I said, this is now my 1 year to my 50th birthday. Yes, 50. Oh, man. Yeah. So
yes, as I said, we are going to have to start the show with a little bit of bad news, and I believe that's your department, Shane.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Unfortunately, we have had two passings in the wrestling world. The late, great Chavo Guerrero Sr. Has passed away, so he did manage to do a last bit of lying, cheating, and stealing, whereas he stole everybody's hearts from, unfortunately, passing away. And the sad passing, which has only just been reported, of Nicole Bass.
Nicole Bass was only 52. And I have not seen or heard what she had passed from.
I think she was gay. So...
Because I know that the news broke on Blue Meanie's Twitter, you know, gone too soon.
Oh, wait a minute, because there was actually a much longer post posted by her lover.
Yeah, well, so, I was going to say, because somebody did post on her Facebook page saying, well, didn't really specify what it was, said that she had been very sick the past couple of days and then there was nothing doctors could do to help.
Let's see if we can pull this up. Where the heck is it?
Huh. I don't know.
I'm still trying to find it. There it is. I think. No.
You're talking about the note from her partner?
Yes.
I have it.
Go ahead.
She wrote, and this was 3 hours ago, dignity and respect. Two things every person on this planet deserves. Two things very important to Nicole Bass. The past few days, I, Kristen Marone, have been posting to my girlfriend's pages to try to keep her very personal life private. Rumors have been spreading about the internet about her health. A few days ago, we didn't know all of what was going on, so I've been trying to keep it quiet until we had answers. Nicole values her privacy, and I respect that. Before anyone tries to take the story and twist it up and make it ugly, I want to put it out there in a respectful way. A few days ago, Nicole got very sick. She was brought into the hospital. They did everything they could to help her. I've been sitting here with her in the room 24/7 since she got here, making sure she was given the best positive possible care. Today we learned that there's nothing else can be done. Nicole was an amazing woman. Strong not only on the outside but inside as well. Beautiful soul and kind heart. Many people knew Nicole, but few ever got close to know the real woman that she was. I got to be the one in love, the lucky few. Not only was she my soulmate, my girlfriend, but was my best friend, my teacher, and my business partner. I learned many valuable things from her and created many beautiful memories in the time we had together. I'd like to keep her page open for our loving fans and friends to share her photos and memories. I just ask that you treat Nicole with the dignity and respect she deserves. Thank you to everyone that has been reaching out to and helping me through this very difficult time. Nicole, I love you. I will always love you. I will be yours, and you will always be mine. Edited to make it clear, yes, Nicole has passed away. No, it wasn't on news sites first because she wouldn't have wanted it to be. I've been working very hard to keep it private until myself and those closest to her were ready to speak about it. Please respect our privacy at this time. Any information not found here, posted by this page or Kristen Marone, is not true. Sad piece of news.
It is. I'm afraid I'm not really familiar with her work, but everything I've read so far has been respectful. I have not heard, sometimes I don't hear very respectful things about her, but, since her passing, I really haven't read anything that's been, homophobic or, just flat out.
Transgenderphobic?
Because yeah.
There were always rumors as such. But you know what? The thing is, and of course, we also talk about Chavo Classic, who actually got a run in 2002, right?
He was in WWE in the mid 2000s because he was actually part of the cruiserweight division that went down in flames.
Oh yeah, all four-ish.
Not only was he part of it, he was champion of it for a part of the time.
Oh no! I remember, and I will accept him as a cruiserweight champion just as much as I accepted Jackie Moore and Hornswoggle. Wait,
well, didn't Chavo lose it to Jackie?
He lost it to Hornswoggle.
Oh, he beat Jackie. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost it to Rey Mysterio.
But we're putting together a new lineage for it. But Chavo Classic really did give us a lot of fun in his short time with the Fed, and now he's back with Eddie, and Heaven's gonna have a lot to deal with because somebody's gonna be missing a lot of stuff.
Exactly. The legacy of the Guerrero family in El Paso, Texas are so unbelievable. You've got Mondo, Gory Guerrero, Eddie, Chavo and Chavo Jr., Hector. You got this amazing lineage, and Chavo Classic was an amazing athlete and amazing wrestler as well. And a lot of people don't don't know just how good he was. But he was a huge star back in the day.
I just thought it was cool that they had brought him in briefly with WWE. I'm not familiar with his older work, but he made something of it, and then he screwed it up and started no-showing on him.
Yeah, that was a problem.
But he is in a better place.
I believe so.
So now let's go on to the semi-good news. I have never felt better to be wrong about a pay-per-view.
Same deal, Nikki.
Hell
same
yeah.
Deal.
Hell yeah. Oh
so,
my God, yes.
To WWE, thank you. Seriously, thank you. Elimination Chamber was a wonderful show.
It was. It was one of the best the company could have ever produced. It was a really amazing show.
They put on one hell of a clinic. We had, you know, some great stuff going on. and of course, the new chamber. So I'll start with you, Brian. What'd you think of the new design?
I loved it. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. Me and some guys were calling some CAW wrestling online during the show, and we got to see the chamber when it came out. And I said, it looks amazing, because the old chamber was cool, but, you know, it just, you know, the whole circular design, I just didn't like it very much. I loved the fact that they really went all out with the new cubic design almost. I like that they used LED boards on the side to show like which of the person's cells were coming out. That was incredible to me. They did an amazing job, and the cell just looked awesome. And give them all the credit in the world. They really made that cell look great.
The cell was more, well, first of all, it's going to be awesome as a plaything, as a playset from Mattel.
Absolutely. But I also want to point out that now it's 25% more wrestling friendly, right, Jason?
Mm-hmm. It is wrestling friendly. It's padded. It's higher, you know.
Yeah. One of the first things I noticed when it was hanging from the rafters, I wasn't sure until they finally put it down, but mats. They put mats over all that steel grating. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It felt like a safer place. It isn't Satan's prison. It's sort of Satan's, you know,
Satan's condominium.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I stayed in once, but I think.
No, but the cell was great. I love the cell, and also the production of the main event match, which we'll get to later, was awesome too.
Yeah, they made this cell more wrestler friendly. They made it more camera friendly. They made it more toy friendly, and the guys were willing to go that extra step, something that a lot of people had been hesitant about, because, yeah, this thing will beat the shit out of you. And even Booker T had made the comment on the pre-show that he was still feeling it from the one he was in 2002.
Yeah, so I think the chamber's an excellent design, excellent redesign. Kudos. Applause. Yes.
So the show itself, you know, like I said, there really wasn't a bad match on the show, although I'm going to have to give a meh to a couple of the women's matches, but I really think it was just for the fact that they wanted the Naomi Alexa Bliss match to shine. Talia match, you know, did all right. The Mickey James match was okay, but Naomi and Alexa, you know, put it all out there for us. And Naomi with the belt, you do not know how happy that makes me. I think I've said it before on this show. I've been a fan of hers since the Women's NXT show. She was my pick to win. And
I never thought that one of the Funkadactyls, that's how she began. She began as one of the Funkadactyls.
Right. She
would wind up becoming a star of the promotion now.
Well, to be fair, Naomi was an athlete first. Granted, yes, she was a cheerleader before she came to WWE. She worked for the Orlando Magic. But she was at least willing to learn and hone her craft, unlike her fellow Funkadactyl Cameron, which I always felt was kind of a weight on Naomi, around Naomi's neck. And now that they've let her shine, let her go out there and do what she needs to do.
Let her glow, if you will.
Indeed. And yes, I got the pun, and Shane, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Hey, I'm sorry, but she's gone from a girl that made you want to funk on the roll to making you feel
what?
The glow. But telling you that funk was on a roll.
I know, it's just you what, mate?
And again, don't start. We're getting to a battle of countries here, which you will lose, sir.
And I think Stat Boy's just doing it because Jim, God love you, get back on my show, isn't here.
Pony!
Yes. Pony.
Which, you know, I have something that I would have loved to have picked on him about if he was going to be here. We will get to that once we get to Raw.
Stop that!
One of the curious things that we had was the handicap match where Cruz and Kalisto faced Ziggler. Now, I'm still a little baffled that, you know, well, Ziggler did win, but Cruz and Kalisto, you know, Cruz and Kalisto made a match out of it, and then Ziggler went nuts. Pillmanizes the daylights out of Cruz, and what do we get? Thank you, Ziggler chance.
Yeah. I was in here chanting, "This crowd's racist." No, but I've never, like, that just tells you how much they love Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even if he's doing something as bad as snapping a man's ankle in two.
It was Apollo Crews, who all we know is that he's a smiling athletic guy.
Okay, but to be fair to Crews, okay, this was a guy that you looked at in NXT and you were like, this guy is going to be future championship material. But since they've brought him up, they haven't utilized him properly, and he's just, yeah, he's been put on the back burner.
Well, as it was said at the party I attended for this event, okay, he comes out, but who is Apollo Crews? You know, there's only so much smiling and flipping that you can do before we need to know more. So, we had that. We had a blast with Tag Team Turmoil. I don't know who is apologizing to the Ascension right now. For this push out of nowhere?
Yeah, good push out of nowhere. What?
Yeah, seriously. First of all, I was expecting them to be, you know, in the middle of the turmoil match, not the last team, you know, not one of the last teams out. I also expected American Alpha to do the full-blown gauntlet. But I'm not going to complain. We still got an awesome match. We also got a bit of foreshadowing when Wyatt and Orton did a short promo. When they talked about going their separate ways, but we will come back together. And to make sure of this, Orton took care of Luke Harper, and Bray Wyatt got to pin John freaking Cena!
And AJ Styles, by the way.
Both of them clean, which, by the way, thank you to the creative writer who did that. Jesus, it's about friggin' time.
Thank you. You're not the only one. You are not the only one. I am just blown away.
Yeah, and just going back to earlier too, I'm actually really enjoying Mojo Rawley as a singles competitor right now.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed his match with Hawkins. It was really good. And one of the things that JBL said really had me cracking up. He's like, "It's the right hook from hell." And it was. When you heard it, it was like, holy crap. Hawkins is out cold. Good night, Hawkins. But no, it was a really, really good match. I'll be interested to see how Rawley goes when Zack Ryder gets back, though.
I'd be curious to see if they pull up some continuity since Hawkins was Ryder's buddy at first. But then again, we've already joked about having those three together as the major hype bros.
Speaking of JBL,
in the future JBL, if I was you, I would not wear those whatever boots you was wearing to the
Botchamania.
Trip Bradshaw.
Okay, but hang on. I'm
it's
getting
John
a
o'clock,
bit,
mother lovers.
No, I'm getting a bit worried now, actually. Because I'm starting to think it's at work.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Because that just looked a little too planned. Because, like, he did a full roll and everything. I'm like, No, Bradshaw, your first one was legit trip. That one looked more like, hey, look, everybody, it's Doink. It's like, oh, God. Just on the Nikki Natalia match.
Yeah.
Can I just say, Nikki has shut up critics.
Yeah. Yep.
She out wrestled the Heart Dungeon graduate.
Which I almost want to say Natalia Letter.
Well, I'd say Natalia Letter too. I would say that. But she still shut up people by, like, saying, well, here you go, I can actually wrestle, and I can actually apply STF better than my man can, so.
Yes, that brought a lot of laughs at our event. So we all, you know, we all dogged on Cena when he actually did the STF in the chamber.
But,
he said.
This is where I have some bad news, ladies and gentlemen. What I did not like was the crappy result and the segment afterwards where we get the two tussling in the back as per bloody usual, which led to her bumping and powdering Maurice's face, which, by the way, Vince, you want to keep things PG? It's like poor Maurice and Nikki both look like they've just snorted a line of coke.
Jeez, man.
Dr. Rock's aware.
And you want to keep it PG. But if that's how they're going to set up the rumored tag team match of Nikki and John Cena versus Miz and Maurice, screw you. There are better ways of doing it. It's like, I am a French woman and I cannot have powder spilt on me like this. We shall go to WrestleMania and sort this out.
Oh, come on. Feuds have started over a spilled cup of coffee.
Shampoo commercials.
Yes. And all it said on the bottle was shampoo in Kana. It wasn't even a brand name. It just said shampoo.
It's a Viagra commercial.
But that was fun. How difference is, that was funny. This was tragic. You took a great women's wrestling match and you did that. So it's so bad, even the dog's goddamn complaining.
Well, so let's just go back out here and have the dust settle on this pay-per-view and check out the scores.
Oh, boy.
Stat Boy, you don't have to try this hard to make it look like you're not cheating.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
Kurt Angle said this best. Screw you, boobs!
Hey, you're at the bottom of the pile, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah. On 3 points is me.
Yes, a loser is you. But Gene...
Step Boy's trying to sing right now. I don't suck. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then he didn't do much better. He only got the half point because he out flush showed the Cruz Kalisto Ziggler match.
Right. And then there's a dog pile of myself, Muckamuck, Chris, and Brian at 4. Cindy at 5. Jason 4th, and Mike as in Mikey?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, Jason was the only one who hit his wild card.
Hey, look.
It didn't matter in the end.
The only wild card that went off was, yes, Jason's, that Cena was going to start the chamber match as one of the first two.
Okay.
But that was not enough for you to catch the champion. So, birthday boy, give it up to our Fizzleweight champion who is present tonight to actually take that belt. Bad news, Beeman.
Damn it! Here you go, Shane. I only hold it 2 weeks, just like someone we know.
Oh, my.
Crap. Okay. That I was not expecting. I actually thought I had I thought I was in the Josh Henniger category where I was like in the crappiest scores, but I won. Sweet.
No, you did really well. I mean, you only, you know, you didn't get two of the three women's matches, but one of them nobody got because it was a double count out. So, yeah. So, you know, like I said, wonderful show. So now Raw has to follow that.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, let's hit the major notes on the show. First, you know, everybody got to get their digs in on Teddy Long, who is now our newest inductee into the Hall of Fame, and well deserved. This guy's been in the wrestling business for 35 years at least.
Holla, holla, holla. Yes, sir.
I'm just waiting for his road stories.
Oh my God! Somebody please get him on story time.
Well,
I
he's already done a U shoot with for a kayfabe commentaries.
Yeah, I watched it. I laughed my ass off.
My favorite story was him talking about some of the divas he was with. Now, I don't mean to sound weird, but I do have to do his voice for this bit.
Okay.
And he said, "Look, dude, I've been married 28 years, man." And then all of a sudden, Sean goes, 28 years you've been married? He said, "What do you say to each other after 20? He said, "Hey, sir, remember the time?" "Yes, I do." And then Teddy goes, "Look, dude, after 20 years, man, there ain't no talking anymore. It's just sex at that point, man."
Holla, holla.
Teddy's already come up in story time where I think it was Simmons that told a story about him getting stuck out in the snow because Teddy Long decided to drive off without him.
Yeah, because they all decided to go out drinking at a bar.
So, you know, seriously though, the longest tenured general manager on SmackDown, a longtime tenured referee, manager of Doom.
Yep.
Had his music. Trivia here, his music is from when he used to manage Rodney Mack, who has fallen off the face of the planet.
Yeah. It's time for you to back the Mack, dog.
And even Teddy couldn't get this to work. But now he will be forever known for the man who loved tag team matches and throwing people to the Undertaker.
Hello. And then shucking and jiving for God knows how long.
Wearing a suit that was three sizes too big because it used to be about this big around.
Mm-hmm. You see, he wore the Steve Harvey suits with the 13 buttons, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But if you didn't wear those, if he turned sideways, he wouldn't cast a shadow.
The story about those suits is he said that he used to get them like real cheap because he'd buy them like outlet malls all over the country.
Hey. It's, you know, whatever works for the gimmick.
Exactly. But, you know, he was a referee in the NWA as well, not just in WWE.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. I've seen some of his NWA referee work. And I pointed him out. I was like, holy crap, Teddy has hair.
Yeah, I know. He had a mullet.
Which was even funnier. But, yeah, seriously. I'm glad he's going in. I really am.
You can tell watching him, whether as a manager or as a GM, he was just having a good time. And there aren't that many people in the wrestling business who were just having a good time.
Right.
And God knows we need more people like him.
I think we've got a few. I know some guys are having a really good time. Even resting up, I noticed there was a picture circulating of Finn Balor and Seth Rollins resting up from their injuries. Seth taking some weight off his knee and Finn Balor healing up from his badly cut thumb.
Yeah, the 48-hour injury from rehab.
Lots of ice, man, and a little bit of rehab. You'll be fine.
Just rub some dirt on it. You'll be okay.
So, you know, so while those two are laid up, we've got Samoa freaking Joe, who had a wonderful interview with Michael Cole and is just so good as this smug tough for Triple H.
As Triple's hired gun, basically.
Pretty much. But he was the destroyer that Hunter referred to in his promo at TakeOver. So, Joe took out Seth Rollins, took a pot shot at Zayn, and almost took Zayn out. So, yes, Joe is going to kill you at some point, and some maybe even at the orders of Triple H. Maybe just because he's bored. I don't know.
You know, the funny thing is, Joe is an underrated talker. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses big words, and he scares the living fuck out of you.
Yeah, because not only is he a tough, he's a smart tough. Which means
which
you
is
just
the
can't,
worst kind of tough.
Yeah, you can't just say you can't just point and say, "Hey, look, a flying monkey," and get away.
A flying monkey? Where?
Exactly, and I'd be gone. Joe, however, would have me in a cookie in a clutch, and not in any sort of romantic way.
Oh my!
Is that code?
In your pants.
So.
We miss you, Craigie Ferg. Yes, he listens to this show, ladies and gentlemen. Occasionally, yes, Craig Ferg listens to the North American Wrestling Connection.
Cool. We need to have him on the show. We will find a way. The Raw Women's Division, which has been in desperate need of some love. Since now Charlotte and Sasha have decided to let other people play. Do I sound bitter? If it wasn't for Naomi winning on Sunday, Bayley's win over Charlotte would have been a much bigger deal. Don't get me wrong. I am so happy that Bayley's champion. But she's with Naomi winning. It's, you know, she's kind of in the shadows of all that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, but it's about dadgum time they put the belt on her.
Well, I'm just happy to see the belt on somebody other than Charlotte and Sasha. Nothing against those two.
Wait a few weeks.
I know. We still got Fastlane coming up.
Yeah.
But we also had the much-anticipated, long-awaited, unbelievable, spectacular, stupendous debut, and I wish I had the soundboard for the sound that goes with this. Emelina.
Close?
Hold on. I think I can pull one together. Hold on. Look.
Wow.
And actually, you'd appreciate this, Brian. I've had it compared to Dustin Runnels as Seven.
Oh, my dear Lord.
Oh, wow.
Well, and the thing was, and you know what? It's not that, it's pretty appropriate because when he debuted as Seven, he crapped on the gimmick, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Emelina, whichever version you want to call her, apparently they just told her it wasn't working, and she hadn't even come out to the crowd yet. I'm guessing they were testing it at house shows.
Yeah, that's not a good sign, guys.
So she came out to all this spectacular fanfare, and she said never mind.
Yeah. This is as bad as Hirohito.
Oh, yeah. that's... Ouch, that's worse.
Excuse me. Am I wrong? I mean, this is Shockmaster bad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it Shockmaster bad. See, Shockmaster wasn't built up like that.
Yeah.
This is kind of like Kizarni.
Oh, there you go. Welcome to the Kizarnival. Oh, God.
Hey, I had all kinds of hopes for Sin Bodhi, and it just didn't work. They took too long to get him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, ladies and gentlemen, this is all summed up in one word of bullshit.
I think we need to stay
on
that.
Oh, dear. Give the Australian some room.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So let me see if I've got this straight. You keep a brilliant Australian female wrestler off your goddamn TV screens for 4 months. You build her up with this whole Emelina crap, having her do all these friggin' modeling poses and all this other bullshit. And then finally, we get the climax of where she's going to appear and we're going to see this huge debut. She comes out and tells us she's going back into the fucking form she did not need to get out from in the first place. Are you kidding me? This is why Raw Creative is retarded. This is absolute bullshit. And the reason why, and this is for everyone watching, the reason why apparently they wanted her to go straight back to Emma was because when they did the whole test run with her, it was because she's not like Sable.
Excuse me? What?
They were
being
building
not
the whole...
like Sable should be a freaking compliment.
Thank you.
They were building Emelina to be the next Sable. Well, let me tell you something, WWE Raw Creative, and get this through your thick friggin' skulls and send this back to Paul Levesque or Vince McMahon, whoever you friggin' answer to. Emma is far better than Sable. In fact, Sable doesn't even belong in the same league as Emma. Emma wrestles better than Sable. She looks better than Sable. And in fact, if Brock Lesnar has a problem with what I'm saying, then Sable must be doing the only good thing that she's good at is blowing his mind. Because...
Oh, my.
What?
Because that's... The truth is that... Of course that gimmick was going to bomb if you're going to try and make her the next Sable. Because she is 10,000 times better than Sable. And you should have never, like the old saying goes, ladies and gentlemen, don't fix what isn't broken.
And I agree. I never liked the concept of, okay, we've got all these hard-hitting wrestling women, and now we're going to debut a gal whose gimmick is, she's a diva! Yeah, not going to happen. We've spent the last two to three years trying to get that stank off the women's division as a whole.
And I know this was a Vince McMahon idea. I know it. I know it in the bottom of my very soul. I know this was a Vince McMahon idea. Because Vince, whether you want to admit it or not, you are a misogynistic, sex friggin' symbol loving piece of shit. And that's me speaking, that's me shooting, ladies and gentlemen. That's 100% truth.
Who you're calling Vince this?
Hell yeah! Because
of course he's a pig. He's always been a pig. See, the thing is that Triple H knows about treating women with respect. At least, you know, from a wrestling perspective. At least I think so.
Yeah. I think he's gotten better about it. Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of Brock Lesnar,
where did that come from? Oh, Sable. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Oh my. Just got this hot off the waiver wire this morning.
Oh dear.
Brock Lesnar has made no official announcement, but he has notified the UFC of his retirement from mixed martial arts. A UFC spokesman confirmed with MMA Fighting on Tuesday.
Well,
this also means that Lesnar has...
That's a contradiction right there, isn't it? He's made no official word, yet a spokesperson from UFC has confirmed it.
I guess. I don't know.
That's a contradiction right there. So he's officially announced his retirement from UFC, and I don't really blame him. His UFC stock has plummeted. It's done.
Yeah. He's also been removed from the USADA testing pool, meaning he is no longer officially on the UFC roster, per USADA spokesman Ryan Madden.
Which means he's now free to take whatever the hell he pleases.
Right!
Just saying. Just saying.
I just say that?
Just saying.
Well, it's not like Vince is going to fine him or anything because he's a part timer. So,
I was going to say, speaking of creative, I guarantee you they had zero, almost exactly zero input on the segment of the entire freaking night.
Yes.
The segment that broke a million hearts.
Including mine, right before my birthday, too. It really hurt.
And probably started a riot in Canada. Or at least a decent hockey fight.
I tell you what, there's one person in San Antonio that was like, thank you, God! Payback from 2008.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you caught that too, huh, Shane?
Oh, as if you could. Come on, there's a big TV screen there, and the best friend, or the guy that's cheering and giving this guy props, all of a sudden shoves the man's face through a TV screen. Yeah.
Well, given that Sean started it, throwing Jannetty through a window, because trying to throw somebody through a CRT would be painful as hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Jericho throwing Michaels through the Jeritron 5000, I believe it was at the time.
Yeah.
And now Jericho takes it from Owens. After this poor man has put up with all of Jericho's antics and has given him some fantastic stuff that he will never use. Although that creation picture, I have heard way too many people on the board saying, please put that up for sale because we will buy it.
I will bet you it will go in one of those auctions that the WWE has.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't need Nasir winning it.
Who?
Oh, long story there.
Okay.
Well,
I have a feeling that Statboy's got a HBK Triple H rivalry with somebody on the auction board.
No. There's a guy who's been known as a damned perv. His name is Nasir, and he's bought various diva items for thousands of dollars. Especially Paige stuff.
The thoughts of Josh Henniger are not confirmed or denied by anyone here at the NAWC. We do not.
Okay, time to go confirm.
Anyway, but yeah, this was just such a brilliant segment. Jericho looked like he was having the time of his life, and he was being so honest and so sincere and had his heart wide open to Kevin Owens to show him how much of a friend he was. And all the great stuff that goes with it.
It's the heart of Jericho. Take it in, man.
And I love the sequin blazer and the sequin fedora.
Yes.
I just love when Gilbert came out. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Yes, somebody gave Dwayne Gill a paycheck. That alone is another winner for the evening.
He got paid.
He did. And you could hear the cracks in people's hearts when Jericho discovered that he had been given a new list. And as he took it out of the box, he's like, wait, why is my name on it? And the crowd, you could actually hear the ooh.
And then he pulls it out of the box and it just says the list of KO. And the place went nuts.
And Kevin Owens has finally remembered that he's a dick. And he spent the next 5 minutes trying to prove it to Jericho.
And he beat the living crap out of him.
Yeah.
So, now, just to put it out there, Jason, do you think Kevin Owens' conversation with the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, might have had anything to do with it?
You think?
Understatement.
Just put it out there.
May I New Yorkize the speech? May I interpret it?
Please.
Okay. So Triple H goes to Owens and goes, "What the fuck are you doing?" Okay.
What do you mean?
You have been looking like a fucking pussy. You have always, you have not been a fighting champion. I kicked Seth Rollins to the curb for you. You better show this Canadian puss boy rock star who the man is. It ain't him. It's you. Does that make
sense? Actually, let me clarify that line. Look, you're hanging out with Chris Jericho. I don't like Chris Jericho.
You
shouldn't like him either.
Yes, I never liked Chris Jericho.
And I don't want to see him win at anything, so please do me the favor.
Hold on. Let's add one more to my repertoire, okay?
Okay.
Now listen, I want you to go out there and prove to him and everyone else that you are a fighting champion. You're not going to do it by hugging him and hugging that guy with his fake hair and that silver jacket. Now be the fighter that I know you are, Kevin. Because if that's all you're going to be, then maybe I need to find me someone else who's best for business.
Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad, just missing not enough.
You're getting more.
More talking like this.
Oh, yes, and you gotta remember his catchphrase in promos. See, Kevin, here's the thing.
Exactly.
You've been hanging out with Chris Jericho since last August, and I don't have any say in your personal life, but now this is starting to affect your professional life. You are the Universal Champion, and I made sure of that. And Chris Jericho is only dragging you down. He's good at that. I hate Chris Jericho for that. So you're going to do me a favor, and you're going to hate Chris Jericho. And I want to see how much you hate him tonight.
Dadgum, that's good. You can cut a promo. You know that, Nikki?
It's all the listening and all the practicing. And the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, you gotta love. I'm sorry. Up and down through the years, I've been watching him since he came back in 2002 from his first quad tear. Never looked back. He is one of the best in the business. He was one of the best students of the business. He knows it inside out. Now he knows it on both sides of the guardrail.
And here's the crazy part, right? The fact is that, and here's the funny, the funny thing. I don't know if you saw this or not, because I saw this, I found it on YouTube. Triple H actually was the bad guy in the last Scooby-Doo movie, along with with Stephanie.
Yes.
I did not know this. And of course, Vince says, "Well, our lawyers will get us out in 24 hours." But seriously,
no, seriously, they went ahead and they made Steph and Hunter the villains in Curse of the Speed Demon. I dug that. Really dug that. I just think that, you know, it was because Hunter and Steph both at some point wanted to say it. I could have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for you meddling kids and that blasted dog. So, but yeah, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, love him or hate him, you have to respect this man.
Exactly. He is, as the kids like to say these days, T-Roxors.
He is. And like I said, you know, huge props to the man. I hope that I get to meet him again in the near future so that I can just shake his hand and say thank you. And mention that he still looks pretty damn good for having three kids.
Yeah, speaking of that, if I may, there's a little segue to that, actually.
Yeah, actually, you're the RSBS man. Talk to me.
By a vote, I believe, of 81-16, okay, I think I believe the Trump administration has a new head of the Small Business Administration, and that would be Linda McMahon. But that's not the story. The story is there is a picture floating out of Shane, Vince, Triple H, Stephanie, Linda, and all seven grandkids, right?
And not to mention Marissa, Shane's wife.
Right, and the thing is, I believe this is the first picture of all seven grandkids not exposed. Because if I remember correctly, specifically, Triple H and Stephanie do not show the girls' faces ever. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure.
More or less.
They haven't shown their faces much. And where do you get seven? I know Shane has three boys and...
It's six. It is exactly at six.
It is six? I thought it was seven.
Yeah. No, Shane's got three boys and Hunter's got three girls. That's why I keep making Brady Bunch jokes.
Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so... But yes, this picture is amusing, and usually the stat is placed underneath it that 46% of the people in this picture have taken a stone cold stunner.
Right.
I had the dubious honor of seeing Trump get his at WrestleMania 23.
Yes. Yes. And you know, he didn't take it well, but
no.
Hey.
I think I took it better, and I was told that I still haven't taken one. Anyway. But, yes. So now the McMahons have a foothold in Washington. So I want my Raw on the White House lawn. I dare them.
I'm just waiting for some liberal to call for a WWE boycott.
And that, Brian, is why you don't hear about stuff like this with Linda on the show. If this wasn't so bloody controversial, we would have heard something by now. And have you heard anything?
No.
So I don't think we see this. I think we've heard a little JBL talking about it in commentary.
Right, but who listens to JBL?
That's a very good point.
Okay.
So, but yeah, this is not going to be brought up on the show. Linda herself really hasn't been involved with the on-air product for WWE in over a decade. So, you know, yeah, we're going to get a bunch of libtards who are going to post videos of her from the Attitude Era. But the fact that you guys have to go back 25 years to find dirt on Linda McMahon.
Oh, right, with the whole steroid abuse deal, yeah.
Well, between the steroid trials and then her as an on-air persona.
Yeah.
There's really, you know, and they can't find anything more recent than that.
Not since the early '00s, yeah.
Yeah. Which is longer than most people in Washington, so good on her. And in the tradition of the Attitude Era, one great big middle finger at the rest, at the liberal left. Thank you.
Well, yeah, but I will say this though, you know,
as far as settlements, I'd like to see you hold back on settlements for a little bit.
Sorry about that. But the deal is this: the fact is that I'm glad Linda's in, and now she got her political thing. She didn't have to deal with the Senate for all that stuff.
Exactly.
But also getting back, I have to admit that segment, though, the Festival of Friendship, was just one of the best segments in years. Honestly,
I will put it up there with "This Is Your Life" Rock. Just for the sheer effect that it has had on the wrestling community.
Yeah, you can tell that this run, Jericho has been having the time of his life.
And look what he did. He didn't even have to wrestle Kevin Owens to get him over as a heel. It just had to be nice to him. And eventually, dick heels hate it when you're nice to them, because then they have to be nice back.
And that's something a lot of heels don't know how to do.
And Kevin Owens kind of didn't want to when he was out there. And like I said, that's probably because the evil boss got into his head and said, look, you can't do this anymore. So, beautiful stuff for Monday. Now, SmackDown's like, okay, how do we top that?
Oh, boy!
Not very difficult.
No, but they did. Oh, did they?
First of all, just the celebration of Bray Wyatt as champion. And the fact that he does finally have the whole world in his hands.
And well, at least the whole world title.
Yeah, but you want to know something? Praise be to God. Thank God.
You know, we've been screaming for this for at least 2.5 years. And here we are.
And if I may ask, kudos, and I think Shane said it earlier, kudos to the creative for A, having Cena and Styles start, and B, having Wyatt pin Cena and Styles clean. That made Bray Wyatt in one night. One night.
And just to reinforce that, they had the three of them go at it again. At least that was the majority of the main event. But I've seen several pictures of Wyatt and just how it's not crazy. The smile isn't crazy. The smile is genuine. I've seen a picture of him with this great big smile on his face with the belt over his shoulder, and all I can hear in my head is, Abigail, I did it.
Yes.
And he kind of hinted towards that in his promo. You know, he said that it was going to be a tough road, that it was going to be a long road, it was going to be a hard road, but here I am. So we had this wonderful triple threat main. And I wasn't listening terribly closely, but people are saying that Cena allowed himself to be pinned by Wyatt. And actually said something along the lines of, you're the man now. Let me see if I can find that again.
Yeah. You're the man now, dog.
What you mean?
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
You mean, are you talking like he called it in the ring?
Okay. Bray Wyatt pinned John Cena to retain his WWE title on SmackDown. According to X-Pac, who was backstage at SmackDown, had revealed on a recent podcast that it was Cena's idea to put Wyatt over on SmackDown.
Oh, wow.
X-Pac said, and I quote, I'm not sure what the finish was supposed to be for the match, but I know this for a fact, that John Cena insisted on putting Bray Wyatt over again. Insisted on it. That's not just a rumor.
Wow.
Damn.
Now, if you watch the footage from SmackDown and listen very closely, as soon as Wyatt pins Cena, you can hear Cena say something along the lines of, you're a top champion now.
Wow. Just wow.
That's crazy. Now, I have to find this.
No. Let me save you a trip. I put a link to the video in the chat. Check at the 2:10 mark about.
Okay. I'm going to do that right now.
because I haven't gone back to listen to it, but I'm just
when word gets out that this
blown away because we all, you know, we all get a little cynical when it comes to Cena. Again.
Five.
Then again, the whole internet gets cynical when it comes to Cena. I never lose.
Hack it.
Hack it. So this is kind of, you know, this is kind of out there. But I'm digging it.
I heard it. You're a top champion now. I heard it. I fucking heard it. He said it. You're a top champion now.
And something that he needed to be, that he's needed to be for a while, John. Just saying. So we had this wonderful triple threat match. And as things are set right now, Bray Wyatt is going to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. Or is he?
Dun, 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 dun.
As Mr. Randall came to the ring and made a very specific statement. As long as you're the master and I am the servant, I will not face you at WrestleMania.
I'm getting a definite Undertaker and Kane vibe from this.
This is where I think they pulled it from, and I get this wonderful image of Orton saying that, and in the back, Shane and Brian looking at each other like, the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck do we do? What the fuck do we do? Crap.
I mean, Brian's already stressed out about everything that's going on in the women's division. The fact that he had to book a false count anywhere match just to get Nikki and Natalya to lay off each other. Surprisingly, he didn't have to break up Bliss and Naomi because apparently Alexa Bliss is not heel enough to just go down to Naomi and keep injuring her knee. And, of course, there's all the head shaking about Ellsworth and Carmella.
Oh, and that backstage segment where what's-his-face, where Ambrose is like, look, I want fucking Baron Corbin. He ain't here. Okay.
Yeah, he ain't here.
Can I beat him up?
Well, he really needs to be beat up. Listen, James, she's using you. Shane, can I beat him up instead? Yeah, go ahead.
And he's beating him up, and Shane's like, no, please. No, Carmella's going, no, please, Dean, don't do that. Stop it.
And then Baron Corbin had to come out and ruin everything, and then make Dean a happy scary Dean and throw him through some electronic equipment. I expect Dean's promo next week saying, you know, you saw all those sparks and stuff flying when you threw me through all that equipment. I liked that. In fact, let's do that again. I'll show you where the table is. Granted, I'm predicting something for the unpredictable Dean, but just throwing it out there.
I have been known to wear a cape.
Dude, you're the Joker. Or you're Deadpool. I'm not sure which.
I think I get more of a Deadpool vibe.
If he starts actually talking to himself in a promo... But yeah, we've actually had, this has just been a very good week in wrestling. There have been some wonderful highs. The chamber match, the end of Jericho. I know, you know, that bums a lot of people out, but I tell you what, they did it so spectacularly. I ain't even mad. And of course, the intrigue of Wyatt and Orton actually not wanting to fight somebody for the title.
Yeah, it's like Orton has completely bought in here.
because I realize everybody for a while has been saying, okay, Orton's going to turn on Wyatt. Orton's going to turn on Wyatt. Orton's going to turn on Wyatt. I haven't seen it yet. I'm sure it's coming. But will it happen before or after WrestleMania?
Well, I have an interesting question. If we're going to have a number one, is it a, it's a battle royal or it's a number, it's a battle royal, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Fatal 5-Way from what I understood.
Oh, okay. And who all's in it?
I'm not entirely sure. Let me see if .com has anything about that right now. Shows. Oh, come on. SmackDown.
Dean, AJ, John.
If I were to guess the other other five in the Elimination Chamber, Dean, AJ, John, Corbin, and Miz, more than likely.
Okay.
I can't say that with utter certainty, but it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, a few people are joking that they're going to find a way to get Roman Reigns over there to challenge Wyatt. And I'm like, no.
Please, no.
No, they're not going to do that.
They're actually calling it, it's not a five-way. It's a number one contenders battle royal.
Okay. My mistake.
It's all right. And if all this positive TV doesn't get you interested, then let's do a little bit of throwback stuff that's in the public eye.
Okay.
Some dude named Dwayne, who used to wrestle for the Fed up till the early 2000s, gave it up and decided to make movies. Tried to do a nostalgia run to a chorus of meh. Went back to the movies. Well, he got himself another shiny trophy to go with all his shiny belts. He received an award at the NAACP Image Awards for Entertainer of the Year.
Dang.
And given how much bank he's put away in the last year and a half alone, between the Fast and Furious series, doing a voice for Disney in Moana, which I still haven't seen, and I need to see it.
Which I believe, you want me to check the box office on that?
Sure.
Okay.
And also the world's most highest paid actor, $64.5 million in 2015 or 2016.
Yeah, I'd say that's a little bit successful.
Yeah.
Can I be a tenth that successful about now?
Try this on for size. The domestic take of Moana is $243 million.
Bad for a Disney movie, actually.
True.
Okay.
That's all right. He'll make it up in DVD DVD and digital download.
And foreign box office, $321 million. So combined box office, $565,399,000
something. In change,
yep. Yeah. And from what I'm seeing here, the third best Walt Disney Animation Studios. I thought this was a Pixar movie at first, but it's behind Zootopia and Frozen. They won't catch either. Not even close. Because Zootopia made just over $1 billion worldwide, and Frozen made well over $1 billion. Moana is closer in terms of net gain as Big Hero 6 was.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. I mean, the split domestic and international is pretty much even. I mean 55-45. That's not bad. Okay.
The man's making crazy bank. He's got another. They got Fast 8 coming out. He's going to be in it with Vin freaking Diesel and Jason freaking Statham.
And not to mention Baywatch coming out here in the summer.
Yeah, where he gets to work with the Hoff, because you can't tell me they didn't make that movie without him.
No,
there was a cameo.
Yeah. You know, kid did pretty well for himself.
I mean, and honestly, here's the crazy thing about The Rock. The Rock has been on a roll for years now, monetarily and picking out projects, etc. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
With Ballers on HBO, with, you know...
Black Adam coming up here with the DC Extended Universe stuff?
Yep. And the funny thing is, The Rock still feels, still at least the image he projects, and I believe that this is as real as it can be, as still the guy with $7 in his pocket, not $7 million in his pocket. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we can actually tie this back around with news that came out, what, a week or two ago? About him picking up and producing... Pages documentary, if you remember that.
Well, not right, it's a biopic, not a documentary. Yeah. It's a biopic.
Okay, the biopic, Fighting With My Family, starring Lena Headey. I don't know if any of these names are going to be exactly right now, but Lena Headey, Nick Frost, Jack Loudon, and Florence Pugh as Paige.
And also Vince Vaughn is in it, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's crazy. Everything The Rock touches turns to bank.
Mm-hmm. And that ain't stopping anytime soon. So I'm surprised he doesn't have his hand in another wrestling project that's going out there. Mm-hmm. Well, HBO, and I believe Bill Simmons from ESPN, or formerly of ESPN.
Correct.
Are on board to do an Andre the Giant movie.
I can't... This is a documentary. I can't wait to see this. Okay. This is going to be fun.
I am super, super stoked, because Simmons is a fan. And given how tight ESPN and the WWE are right now... This is going to be amazing. We're going to get to hear more road stories. We're going to get to hear, you know, we're going to get to see stuff that we ain't seen. They're going to get a hold of a lot of archival footage. Yeah, they're going to show us WrestleMania 3, but we're going to get to see everything else. We might even get a tidbit about the Princess Bride.
And here's the thing. Mr. Ruzumov died of acromegaly, which is the stuff that Great Khali and Paul White, a.k.a. The Big Show, were cured of, weren't they? Because they had the surgery.
They had the it had been caught in a reasonable time, and they had the surgery done to stop it. I don't know if Andre ever did have that surgery.
No.
So,
and also, if I'm not mistaken, is that what helped kill Giant Gonzalez, too?
Probably. But yeah, Big Show was treated for it, I want to say, in his college years. And Khali had the surgery about a decade ago. I know he didn't have it until after he'd had spent some time in WWE and got the money up to go get it done.
Yeah, and the thing is, and again, Big Show tweeted another training photo. Holy cow, the man is ripped!
Yes, now he just needs to shave that beard. Show me a new picture.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he needs to shave his beard because he needs to go away from Braun Strowman's beard next week.
Seriously. Although Strowman, outside of the ring and in civilian clothes, looks like Hillbilly Jim. That's a compliment, by the way.
But every time I see, like, Bray Wyatt, and, you know, Braun Strowman and Big Show, all these people with these huge... And Luke Harper... Just want to take a scissor and clean their faces. Ugh!
Too much beard for you, sir?
Too much, yes.
So, yeah, and seriously, I don't know what Big, you know, Big Show has just been destroying it in the gym. Then again, he's got somebody his size, Braun Strowman, but, you know, kayfabe, to go work out with. Plus, he's got a personal trainer who is kicking his ass and making him do it, which is something that had plagued him going through the years, that he's, you know, somebody who knows he's physically talented and just doesn't commit to the gym. But now, damn, son.
He's going to kill Shaq in the ring.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't realize you could get six packs of 40s. I mean, good Lord. You know, when they said washboard abs, here's the example, because it's the same size as an actual washboard. I'm showing my age. But yeah. And just the fact that, you know, as we are careening down the road to WrestleMania, things are really starting to look up, and I'm very excited for Mania this year.
It still depends, because the card is still way in flux.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I forgot to put this on the format. And let me see if I can find it again. There was a really interesting thing about tonight's TNA. And I'm trying to find it.
Are you talking about Josh Barnett? Are you talking about...
I'm talking about a referee conflict that's
going on. Oh, right! With the Lucha Underground situation. Right!
I've got it.
Okay. Yeah, it turns out that a Lucha Underground referee worked for TNA when they did a mountain of tapings some time ago, and the episodes that he worked are going to be aired. Lucha Underground said no. You're not going to air those unless you pay up. So there was actually talk that they were going to blur this referee.
They did.
Oh my God. Okay.
But the thing is, it wasn't somebody who worked at the tapings explicitly. This was filmed, if I'm not mistaken, at a Crash wrestling event in Mexico a few months ago. It was the Hardy Brothers... or the Hardy Boys versus Conan and Hypnosis. I mean, Psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Super Crazy and Psychosis.
Oh, Super Crazy. So it was, oh yeah, it was Super Crazy and Hypnosis. Sorry. A high flyer of the highest magnitude.
Yes.
But yeah, they filmed a one-off episode there in Tijuana, and that referee was part of Lucha Underground. So as a direct result, yeah... things got messy.
Okay, so I was just curious to see what had actually happened to that. And now I'm going to go look for video.
Yeah, because what happened was this. They did the match, but Lucha sent them a cease and desist. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because the ref is with Lucha Underground, because... this whole project is called, what was it, the Expedition of Gold? Because the Hardys are going into promotions all over the country and winning tag team belts.
Mm-hmm.
And all around the world. Which I believe is culminating, I believe, March 5th? Here in New York against the Young Bucks. I just have to see when that is. So, yes. The Hardy Hung Box, yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I would, because, see if this comes up all right. This is, I put in the chat a picture of what some people think the referee will look like tonight.
Oh, jeez.
Brian,
nice.
You should appreciate that.
Missing no God.
So,
And that will be at Supercard of Honor April 1st.
Okay.
In Lakeland, Florida. So.
Okay.
Yep. So that's that, pretty much. And there was something else. And also there's rumors that George the Animal Steel is not doing so good either.
I've seen some talk from Maestro about this, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Stro don't lie. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to George the Animal Steel. I didn't get to see a lot of your work, but the concept of your character is awesome. And what I have seen was amazing. So with all that done, I think I've covered everything I wanted to cover.
Yeah, that's about everything, isn't it?
Yep. So before we go, Statboy, do you have anything to promote?
Considering how late these episodes will be going out, I won't be.
Okay. And is Brian back? I know, did he get locked in the bathroom again?
No, Brian said he would be right back. I think he'll be back. We'll wait for him. I will plug while he comes back. I know things that he will probably plug. You know what? I'll let him do it. But we are recording a new episode of We Love to Interrupt tomorrow night here on Spectrum One. We're talking the latest and greatest in new game shows, including Nick Cannon out at America's Got Talent. And there's lots of controversy with that. We have the college championship going on Jeopardy. We also have, we just recorded a hot stove edition of Touch 'Em All with myself, Jess Brand, and J.D. Hernandez as host. We basically caught up on the goings of the hot stove, the trades, talking about some of the new rules that are going into effect, including that stupid second base rule that they're putting out in the World Baseball Classic. But yes, spring training is out there, thank goodness. Of course, Red State, Blue State eventually, when I will get back to that. BS Big Show will be back around, I believe, schedule time, because we did our seven-hour extravaganza, which I believe you were a part of for a little bit. I don't know if you were, Nikki.
Not this year. It was last year that I stuck around to talk about the booking.
Brian and I will also be doing a show called Pixel Nation, and boy, we have a lot to talk about this week, including a Nintendo Switch getting out in the wild, and a certain YouTube star saying some really dumbass things and actually, you know, getting caught for it.
Dumbass. How's it going, bros?
Yeah, pretty much. Bro-tastic. Yes, exactly. Just terrible, terrible, terrible stuff.
Yeah.
And on all that, and you can listen to all the programs here on Spectrum One. Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, Spectrum1.net, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play, pretty much anywhere and anywhere. So, there's that.
So, as for myself, I would like to send a great big fuck you out to Cat Daddy for the recent update in Supercard.
Oh boy, what do they do now?
They are selling emojis.
Ugh.
Selling?
You actually have to pay real money to have a WWE character emoji, which I think it only works in Royal Rumble mode. And even there, you got some freebies with Cena and Flair. I'm like, you want me to pay real money for a bunch of little stickers with sound bites from the wrestlers? That's cute. How about no? Does no work for you? Do you really want me to, you really want to find a way for me to actually spend some money on this game, Cat Daddy? How about this? You set up somewhere where I can buy alternate images of various wrestlers for my cards. Not the card backs. I don't give a shit about the back of the card. Yes, I can win those in Rumble. Ooh, I can put an Undertaker logo on the back of my cards. Ooh, I can have Ultimate Warrior on the back of my cards. Ooh, I can have the Evil Boss on the back of my cards. I want other pictures of the wrestlers. I want some long-haired Triple H. I want more Dead Man Undertaker. I want for my Tyler Breeze a Fashion Police picture. I want, you know, come on, man. And you turn the whole one of the whole pages into the shop. That's even funnier. No. This, I told you what I'll spend my money on. That's when you'll get my money.
Everything's on sale.
But until then, I'm going to sit here and say fuck you right back with my entire pile of Elite cards that I still haven't finished trading up yet that I stole from you 2 weeks ago. Nah.
Oh, shit.
Dang.
The fact that I got 7 pros out of this, including a Bray Wyatt, thank you very much. Let's see, a Bray Wyatt, a Jimmy Uso, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kane, Titus O'Neil. We can't win them all. Naomi. One of the few cards that I don't want to change because they actually have her in one of her neon outfits. While all the rest of them are her Funkadactyl look or trying to be sexy look. And I'm like, dear, you don't skip the sex appeal. You're an athlete. Mm-hmm. I also want to send a minor screw you guys to the producers of WWE Champions. For your dated game.
Oh, God, you're not wrong.
A game that has League of Nations, comic book Stardust. Unironically, by the way.
And doesn't it also feature a few retired guys and a few guys who have been blackballed?
Well, the fact that that Alberto Del Rio is still in here.
Yeah.
Finn Balor is an afterthought. You can get NXT versions of some of the guys that have been on the roster for a while. For example, in the deck that I have, I actually have the NXT version of Seth Rollins. I do not have a Shield version. I have Darren Young before he had Bob Backlund as a manager. He still wears a Primetime Players t-shirt.
Oof. That's just rough.
And this is another game that wants to take money from me. Guess what, guys? I'm not spending money to win your game. I'll sit and play Dean's Daily and pick up piddly shit change to level the characters that I do have and then finish the other two tours on regular and hard mode and smile. Because guess what? I'm not going to spend money when I can put your game down.
Exactly.
So, Brian, did you have anything to promote before we called it a night?
I would like to plug a few things, if I may.
Please.
First, Wrestling with Regret by Brian Zane. Wrestling with Regret with a W at the beginning of the word regret. A great episode this week. He did. He reviewed not just another pro wrestling romantic comedy. Worth it for the review. It's hilarious. Also want to plug Oddity Archive by Ben Manat, theoddityarchive.com, pop culture ephemera at its finest. I want to plug Musical Hell by Christine Easterly. Pixel Nation, of course, has already been plugged, but I'll plug it again because I can. And I also want to plug something very special that I'd like to plug for you guys this week. It's something I like to do more than just the usual.
Okay.
Finally got to watch a great documentary over the weekend. If you're into it. It's been on for a while, but it's on Netflix. I just got to watch it. It's called Electric Boogaloo, The Rise and Fall of Canon Films. If you're into really cheesy,
oh my God,
80s action films.
Oh God.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a great documentary. They interview They interview a lot of people who were involved with the making of these movies. It's a really great documentary. It tells a really, really good story. And it's just some really good stuff if you're into that kind of thing.
Menachem Golem and...
And Yoram Globus.
Yes, and of course people like, what's his fate, like Chuck Norris, I'm guessing.
And Chuck Norris, I think, was interviewed. They talk about all the Death Wish movies. They talk about how they made all those movies. And it's a really, really great story. If you remember those films back in the day, they are just amazingly well put together. And the documentary
for $1.95.
They were. And the budgets were about that much.
Hey, it's amazing what you can do for that little money.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. I already gave I didn't really have anything to promote, but I just tore apart Cat Daddy Games and Scopely, I think, is the name of the group that does WWE Champions.
Oh, I just also wanted to tell you that I believe, because The Miz is starring in The Marine 5, IGN.com is actually trying to give away a trip to WrestleMania through them, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to find the actual the website, so if you'll just hold up one second, because I saw it and it's here it is. If you go to, you just need to find a link here.
So look for him to get injured in the coming
you could get two tickets, air travel and hotel. And mm-hmm. It began February 13th, ends on March 1st. It's at the marine5.com. And I'm just trying to find... Yeah, okay. The form below, wherever the form is, I need to find it. It's probably on a different... It doesn't work in Firefox.
Egad! It may as well be... Everybody's in this damn thing.
Yeah, it's Bo Dallas, Maurice,
Slater, Curtis Axel. No wonder we haven't seen him in a while.
And wait a minute, wasn't this filmed a while ago?
And Naomi's in it too.
Yeah.
Hold on. Right, Marine 5 Battleground comes out on April 25th. Announced last year, and it was filmed starting on May 31st last year, so it's done.
Yeah, and it's one entry per day, and you can win a trip there, because I also tried to win a trip through the Wave Mania DVD, so we'll see how that goes. So, that's that.
Yeah, I'll throw my name in the hat for that. Okay. So... With all of that done, I think we're going to call it a night. So for our chairman, Brian Henniger, for our numbers guy, stat boy, Josh Henniger, no relation, for our legal eagle, Jason Block, and I'm afraid that Bad News Beeman has received the bad news that a storm blew him completely off of the internet. So for him, wherever he is tumbling about, my name is Nikki Heyman, and you've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do come back next week. We'll have more wrestling news for you as we travel down the road to WrestleMania.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at spectrumone.net.